Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth, and I have a great guest host in studio with me who is now my guest because we don't have any more guests in the studio. Dave Fiedler, president of the LCMS Foundation.
It's me, Andy Bates.
I didn't turn your mic on.
Well, it's me, Andy Bates. You know, no, it's not. It is Dave Fiedler, and I'm happy to be with you. Sarah, you may remember this. I had a longtime connection with KFUO.
Yeah.
Worked at the station when I was in college and have been a guest over the years, and always happy to be here, and in particular this morning.
Yeah. Well, that's partially why I asked you to be on, because I know you've done this before.
Well, the listeners can't see this, but I'm looking at the microphone, and it's like a, which way does it point? It's like a pool cue. If a guy doesn't know which end of the pool cue to use, probably doesn't have any business playing pool. It's kind of like that with the microphone. So I'll rely on your expertise, Sarah.
Thanks. I feel like the bar has been set. So you're president of the LCMS Foundation. Tell me what that actually means.
Yeah, sure. So the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Foundation is an organization that a lot of times people have heard of, but they're not exactly sure what it is that we do. The church, you know, created a handful of sort of business entities without getting too technical to do some real specific things. Concordia Publishing House, for instance, produces books. Lutheran Church Extension Fund makes loans for church buildings, and Concordia Plans does church benefits. The foundation was created to do two specific things. One was to help members of the church create estate plans that had a charitable component. Everybody needs a will, right? Kind of at its most basic premise. But an astonishing number of people either don't have one at all or don't have one that's current. And it's sort of human nature because, you know, wills and estate plans is not something that people get really excited about. I mean, it's kind of a drag. It's taxes, it's attorneys, it's forms, and, you know, sometimes family dynamics, which aren't always awesome. But it's something that everybody needs. And so we provide that service, first of all, and then to build in the piece that we as joyful Christians and managers of all these things that God has entrusted to us, we have the opportunity and the ability to make these just wonderful gifts to our family and to ministries we care about. A lot of times for people, that's their home congregation, as you can imagine. You know, it's where they were born, where they were married, where their kids, you know, do youth group, things like that. But it could be the seminary or missions or, you know, one of the other organizations of the church. And the nice thing about that in the government's tax laws, it's designed to encourage just kind of generosity. So in addition to this joyful response we have as Christians, most people, again, from a practical side, would rather give money to stuff that they love rather than have it paid in taxes. So we show them how to do that and take what can be, as I mentioned before, sometimes an onerous process and make it a joyful thing. People look at their life laid out in front of them and, you know, wow, I've got a house that's, you know, almost paid off and kids and, you know, a retirement and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And all of a sudden I get to give it away after I'm in heaven. Wow, you know, this is fantastic. So we do that. We've got 20 counselors who work across the country with members of the Lutheran Church helping these things, helping our members do these things. And then the other part of what we do is the investment management of those gifts and of other assets that congregations and organizations may have. So if somebody creates an endowment or a donor advised fund or just you know, a trust that transfers those gifts to family ministry over time, we do that as well as you know, a congregation's endowment or a church worker scholarship fund or a building fund or things like that. So it's a pretty specific area of activity within the church, but one that's really valuable to people, I think, and we feel humbled to be able to serve the church in this way.
So you exist to support people and support the ministry of the church.
Yes, absolutely. And as I tell the people on our team, when we do our jobs well, you know, we're serving the members of the church and the ministries of the church. We're helping them think about, you know, what happens to their blessings after they've gone to heaven, and providing long-term funding for ministry. You know, a congregation that, you know, lots of times our churches, you know, there's some financial pressure, right? Mm-hmm. You know, try to figure out how to do everything that they want to do in ministry.
Absolutely.
And then for me to be able to call them and say, one of your members has passed away and I've got a check for $300,000 to drop off because they had the foresight to put together this plan 10 years ago. That's a powerful thing.
That's life-changing.
And, you know, the leaders of the church say, okay, I get this. You know, how can we work with you to equip more of our members with this?
Absolutely. So we hear on the radio a lot about organizations that take, like, car donations. Is that a thing for the foundation, too?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we don't advertise cars specifically like that, but we serve, that's a great question and a great point, because another thing that we do is to receive non-cash gifts for ministries of the church. And a specific example of that is a lot of Lutherans are farmers, you know, in places like Iowa and Nebraska and Kansas, Missouri as well, Illinois, of course. And they'll either, you know, have land that they need to decide what happens to it. Maybe their son or daughter aren't interested in that. Mm-hmm. And what happens to that? We can help receive a gift of land for a ministry of the church. A recent story was, you've seen, like, in a parade, these antique tractors that people will get, you know, from the 1920s and lovingly restore.
They're awesome.
They are awesome. There was a guy in Belvedere, Illinois, which is sort of northern Illinois up by Rockford, who had an antique tractor collection.
Nice.
You'd open up his barn doors and, you know, here's a dozen of these things, perfectly restored and shiny. Yay. And he would fire them up and take his friends around on them and, like I said, drive them in the parade. So he wrote an estate plan with the help of one of our gift planning counselors that when he was called to heaven, the antique tractor collection would be used for his home congregation to support their work.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's not every day that we get an antique tractor collection that we get to do, but that non-cash gifts, whether it's land or antiques or
animals. I've heard you've had cows donated.
You know, again, with the agriculture, farmers oftentimes don't have huge cash flow, but they'll have land and equipment and grain that comes in. So absolutely. I'd like to make a gift of 1,000 bushels of grain, the proceeds to, you know, support the work at the seminary. So that's another thing that we can do to you know, the expertise to receive those gifts on behalf of congregations and other ministries of the church.
Absolutely. Where can people go if they're interested in this and they want to know more, or they know a family member who doesn't have a will, who needs one? Where can people find information?
Absolutely. So two things. Our website, the LCMS Foundation, LCMSFoundation.org, www.LCMSFoundation.org. Has information on our gift planning services, as well as the investment management services that our congregations can use, rather than, you know, put money in the bank or in a certificate of deposit, you know, to invest it long term. And with the Lord's help, it grows over time. So they can do that, or call into our office at 314-965-9000 and ask for the LCMS Foundation.
Sure.
I apologize for not knowing the toll-free number off the top of my head, but
we'll
with cell phones these days,
right?
You know, the toll-free numbers, that whole thing, I think, is starting to fade away anyway. 314-965-9000, and our friendly operator will direct you to the foundation.
Perfect. So we have a couple minutes left, and we have to talk about bikes before I let you leave the studio.
Oh, sure.
So I have a story. When I started working here a few years ago, I ride my bike to work, as our listeners know, because we talk about it all the time. And as soon as I started biking, like, everybody started finding out I was bike commuting, everyone was like, have you met Dave Fiedler yet? You need to go find Dave Fiedler because he rides to work too. And I'm like, I don't know who Dave Fiedler is, but okay, I'll go find him. So here you are.
And I remember that. And I started hearing, too, that there's somebody that just started here. She rides her bike. They didn't come out and say, you're not the only crazy one, but that was sort of the implication. But, yeah, that's something that you and I share. And, you know, I've got a great thing here that I value very much. It's part of what Pastor Bill talked about in the previous session. About the ministry, health ministry at Christ Memorial.
Yeah.
Just to be active every day and enjoy the seasons, and a little bit of exercise is a wonderful thing.
And absolutely.
It takes me 15 or 20 minutes. I live relatively close, about 4 miles. And We have a locker room and a shower here.
Which is really nice.
Absolutely. And, you know, secure indoor bike storage. The other thing is, too, if people think you're just a little bit crazy, you know, they won't push you too hard on stuff. I'm going to use that. If they've got a, you know, if they want to argue about something, they typically back off just a little quicker because they're not sure.
They're like, wait, you ride your bike when it's 20 degrees outside? Are you a little nuts?
Sure, exactly. You know, how you'll respond in certain situations.
I really want to know why you started bike commuting.
That's a good question. And in
we only have a couple minutes.
Anticipation of our time together, I started thinking about that. You know, like a lot of people, I rode a bike a lot when I was a kid.
Sure.
Everywhere, adventures around the neighborhood and this and that, and sort of put it away as responsibilities of adulthood came upon me. But my wife gave me a bike one year for a birthday, and, you know, I'd ride it here and there. And there was another guy at the office that said, well, you know, people do ride it to work, right? You could do that sometime. And I thought that was the craziest thing ever. And at that point, I lived 6 miles from the office, mm-hmm. which is not a far distance on a bike.
No.
But I had no idea how long it would take me.
Sure.
Right? I figured this would be like a 2-hour bike ride. And again, you know, just for reference.
Which some days it feels like 2 hours.
Some days it feels like it. You know, my 4-minute ride typically takes me about 20 minutes. And that's at a pretty leisurely pace. Mm-hmm. But I had no idea. So my 6-mile ride, I allowed myself 2 hours for
it. Did you really?
And with the work day starting at, 7:45 here typically, I think I left my house about, 5 o'clock in the morning to allow
that
myself
so funny.
Time to get here and be showered and just for any unexpected situations. And of course, you know, it took me about half an hour, and I got here and the entire place was dark and the doors were locked and the parking lot was empty. And that was my first experience in bike commuting.
That is fantastic. Mine's not near. Well, mine is kind of exciting too, but we'll have to save that for another day. We're all out of time. Dave Fiedler, president of the LCMS Foundation, thanks for being my co-host today.
Hey, I appreciate it. It's been great. You do a terrific job and enjoyed it very much. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks for being here. We like to have fun. If you're listening to the Coffee Hour, I'm Sarah Golseth, and one more guest co-host tomorrow with a really exciting guest lined up as well. So we'll see you tomorrow.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.